We are at the end, right at the end of our series called Great Faith. How many of you ever doubted that, you know, God's promises for your life, or you doubted your faith, or you're not sure of your faith? How many of you have that unbelief in your life at least once in your life before? Okay, those who don't have, later you come and share with us how you don't have. But for the rest of you, you know, you're in the right place. I have a lot of doubt in my life. I have a lot of, times when I'm not sure and I have unbelief in my life. And for us, sometimes, yes, we doubt more sometimes than we have faith. And if you are like me in that case, very good. You're in the right place today. And this series is really about trying to help us to awaken our faith, affirm our faith, encourage our faith, strengthen our faith as we live our life for God, okay? Faith and following Christ, inseparable. You cannot separate these two. You know, without faith, you cannot live and you cannot follow Christ. A wise man once said this: faith is an essential part of living a life with God. Faith is a foundational principle that fuels our Christian life. It's like petrol in our car. It's not the only thing about following Christ, but it's so foundational. And of course, when we talk about faith today, we're not talking about just blind faith. We're talking about a faith that's rooted and centered around the reality of God, the faithfulness of God, the power of God, the reliability of God, the realness of God, right? So let me ask you a question today. How many of you think that without faith, you can be saved? That's right. Without faith, you cannot be saved. The Bible says, yes, we are saved by grace. Correct. It's the grace of God. By grace, we are saved. But we receive it through faith in Jesus. If you don't have faith in Jesus, you cannot be saved. So faith is foundational to our salvation. Secondly, how many of you feel that without faith, you can please God? You know, without faith, we cannot please God. The Bible says that without faith, we cannot live a life that pleases God. Thirdly, how many of you know that without faith, or think that without faith, we can live a life that's to the fullest of potential and the fullest of the calling that God has for us? Cannot. Without faith, you cannot live to the fullness that God has called us. Okay, so faith is so foundational to us to live a life, to follow Christ, and to live to the fullest potential and the calling that God has for each and every one of our lives. Okay, and God has a calling for each and every one of our lives. Now, Hebrews 11 is what we've been centered on, and we have been reading through Hebrews 11 and going through many of the characters. Today, I am going to talk about two persons. Hebrews 11:11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. That's our verse for today. We're going to talk about a lady called Sarah. And of course, when we talk about Sarah, we always talk about her husband, Abraham. We can't separate them when we talk about them. Their stories are so intertwined. So we're going to talk a little bit about them. Some of you may have heard about them before. Some of you may have read about them before and know a little bit about the story. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything that happened in those four or five chapters that cover their life. But today I'm just going to kind of cover a few of the key highlights that I think I want to bring up for today. Okay, so we're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. Now, when we read about Hebrews 11, if you read the people that are mentioned, they're all heroes of faith. So the fact that Sarah is mentioned here makes her someone that we should pay attention to. Because she could have mentioned so many other people in the Bible. Okay, but mentioned Sarah. So now when we talk about Abraham and Sarah, a lot of the times, I don't know whether if you've been in church for a while, we always hear about Abraham a lot. Abraham is the father of this, he did this, he did that. You rarely hear much about Sarah. Little bit. You know, but you hear more about Abraham. So what I wanted to do today is I'm going to try to skew our view a little bit more towards Sarah. What I have today is I have a map. Quickly tell you a little bit about some of the journey of Abraham. And I told you that Abraham and Sarah, husband and wife. Abraham, three phases to his journey. And it's a bit of a loose kind of a phase, loose kind of a categorization of the journey, but just three kind of main phases, okay? The first phase, if you can remember, is called the calling phase. Second phase we're going to go through is the testing phase. And the final phase is the promise, fulfillment of the promise phase. It starts off in number one, if you see on the map, that's number one. That's where Abraham is really from. He's from Ur. And Abraham from Ur actually went to this place called Haran. And that's where he gets his call from God. That's where he meets God. And God comes and speaks to him and says, look, go to this land that I'm going to call you to go. Go to this promised land and I will make you a great nation. Okay, so that's the first time God speaks to him and that's his call. So he gets called in Haran, but it's not the only time God speaks to him. Okay, so it's when we talk about calling, that's the first calling. But throughout his life, God continually speaks to him, God continually affirms him and appears to him and speaks to him. So it's a bit like our life. We receive our calling to salvation. We receive our call to God. But God continually speaks to us. He doesn't just tell you one time, okay, and then, you know, kind of leaves you for 600 years until the day you die. Then when you reach to heaven, okay, yeah, you did your job. No, God continually engages with us, talks to us. And so in this sense, it's the same with Abraham. But the first call he really receives in Haran. And from Haran, what happens is that he receives his call. He packs his bags, takes all his possessions. Of course, he takes his wife also. And then he takes all his servants. And he takes his nephew Lot, right? And they go from Haran. They travel down a little bit more into point three. Canaan land or promised land. So he arrives there. Okay? And then when he comes to Shechem and Canaan, again, the calling phase is something that God continues to speak. God again meets him and speaks to him and says, look, I'm going to give you your offspring and this land I'm going to give your descendants. This land I'm going to give your offspring. This is going to be the land of your children. Okay, this whole Canaan land, right? So that's the second time God speaks to him. So what happens after that? A famine comes. No food, no water. So what happens? He goes and he travels on to point number four, Egypt. And he's traveling with his wife, Sarah. And Sarah is very beautiful. She is so beautiful that Abraham gets scared. And Abraham tells Sarah, Sarah, when we go to Egypt, right? When people ask, right? Don't say you're my wife. Say you're my sister. Because you're so beautiful, people will kill for you, man. I want to stop, pause here for a while and think, Abraham does this, right? Do you think he's doing this out of faith or he's doing this out of fear? Fear, right? Now, I'm pausing here because I want to tell you that the Bible, I love the Bible because it doesn't just carry the highlights of people. It doesn't just say, oh, you know, all the great stuff. The Bible tells us all the lowlights also. And that's great because Abraham, we always look up to him and say, he's the, you know, the Bible says, you know, and Jesus speaks about him and the apostles say, well, he's the father of faith. He's such a man full of faith. But even a man full of faith like him had times when there was fear and when there was doubt. So when I read that, yes, it gives a lot of credibility to the Bible, but more importantly, it gives me hope. Because I'm a person that's imperfect. I'm a person who's got weaknesses. I'm a person who doubts. I'm a person definitely fears. But God can use Abraham, so God, there's hope for me. God can use me. And today, even for you, I know you come here, you think I'm not good enough, maybe. You think I'm not qualified enough. I've not been in the church long enough. I don't know God long enough. I've got my faith problems. I've got my doubt. I've got my weaknesses. But guess what? If God can use Abraham, God can use you. And that's wonderful, right? Because I really love that the Bible captures this kind of thing. So let me tell you the rest of the story. So Pharaoh sees, and exactly like Abraham says, you know, oh, Pharaoh sees Sarah, this beautiful woman, and says, wow, and brings her into the house, wanting to make her his wife sooner or later. But the Bible says in this, in Genesis 12, 17, says this, because of Sarah, interesting, right? Not because of Abraham. And I'll come back to you and tell you why this is important later. God caused disease, sickness, a plague to come upon Pharaoh's house, his family and his people and all his servants and everything. So they all got sick. Poor thing. Pharaoh didn't even know this was somebody's wife. For nothing, kena sickness. Right? So anyway, Pharaoh gets this sickness, and because this sickness comes on him, the whole family, all his servants and everything, he realizes, oh, Sarah is somebody's wife. And so he goes to Abraham and says, why did you lie to me? Right? And cut the long story short, okay, Sarah goes free with Abraham, nothing happens, and Abraham and Sarah leave, okay? And God protects Sarah in this situation. Let me tell you another thing that happened after they left Egypt. They went back into the promised land, into five, if you see there. Let me jump straight to chapter 16. And so remember now they have the promise of God. God says, you know, yeah, you're going to grow into a great nation. But Sarah and Abraham are very old. Can't have children. And I don't have any children now. And God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. How? I don't have any children. It's not possible. I'm old. We're not going to have any children. So how? What are we going to do? God has not given us any children. So what should we do? So Sarah comes up with a bright idea. She says, you know what, Abraham? Since we don't have any children, we need to have somebody to continue the line. You sleep with my servant, Hagar. Bright idea. Again, let me ask you, is this an action out of faith, full of faith? Or is this an action out of fear? Fear, right? You try to shortcut God's plan. You try to do things your way because out of fear. And always when we do things out of fear, there are consequences sometimes. There are decisions that are not great. Okay. And again, I'm glad the Bible records this because, you know, even Sarah, who is a hero of faith, or heroine of faith, if you like, had weaknesses. And again, just like me, just like you, it gives me hope. Because no matter who you are today, God can use you. And I'm not highlighting this to put Abraham and Sarah down, you know. It's something that I might have done in the same situation. And that's exactly it. No matter who we are today, I want to give you faith. I want to speak into your life today and say, look, you have a call from God in your life. No matter where you are today in your life, no matter what mistakes you've made, God will use you. God will continue to use you, okay? So great. So Sarah does this, and the servant has a child called Ishmael. And Ishmael becomes a bit of a problem a bit later on and causes even more problems in the family. So they had to send Ishmael away. And, you know, history tells us that Ishmael, the sons of Ishmael, all the descendants of Ishmael became problems for the Israelites a bit later on. They always had war. They always had tension. And unto this very day, they have tension in the Middle East. So your mistakes sometimes follow you. But that's not what I want to talk about today, okay? So let's go to chapter 17. And chapter 17 says this, right? God comes and visits Abraham again. Oh, Abraham gets a lot of visits from God. He tells Abraham and says, you know, I will give you a child. Next year, in 1 year, when I come and see you, you will have a child. Sarah will have a baby. Now, at this time, Abraham is about 100 years old. And guess how old his wife is? About 90 years old. When he speaks to Abraham and says, you're going to have a child, the Bible tells us this, okay? This is how Abraham reacts. Genesis 17, 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He laughed. Do you think this is a laugh of joy? Or is it a laugh of faith? It's a laugh of unbelief. It's a laugh of doubt. It's a laugh of, I'm not sure, sure or not, can or not, yeah, cannot be. That's the kind of laugh. And if I'm him, I may laugh too, okay? And then it happens again in chapter 18. And this time, God visits again. And this time, Sarah overhears, okay? So let's read this together. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So they're 90, 100 years old. So it probably means that Sarah already had menopause, right? So she couldn't have children. Physically, that's impossible to have a child after you reach that age and pass the age. So Sarah laughed to herself. Again, another one, follow the husband. The husband laughed, she also laughed, right? So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is what God says. At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Wow. So just remember, both of them laugh. And these laughs are both signs of doubt, both signs of unbelief. And I want to say something about this. Pause here again and say something. You know, sometimes when God tells us something, or when someone says, you know, I think God is calling you to do this, or you believe God for something and there's a promise for you, you know, sometimes it's hard to trust, right? Sometimes we think that being a person full of faith, sometimes we think that a person who is, you know, I trust God and faithful, is someone who is 100% always confident, 100% always optimistic. So when we say, you know, we are going to grow this church and we're going to reach 500, I tell you, we're going to reach 500 next week, and that's faith to you. Maybe to you, that's faith. But you know, Abraham and Sarah, they laugh. They have unbelief in their life. Yet, they're honored as heroes of faith. So maybe, it's not about being, oh, you know, I really believe 100% guarantee should happen one. Maybe that's not a person full of faith. Yes, maybe that's it. There's nothing wrong in being confident. There's nothing wrong in being optimistic. But is that a sign of faith? Is that being a person full of faith? You know, our faith is not based on just being optimistic. Our faith is not being based on confidence. Our faith is not based on something that we think and are sure it's going to happen, but our faith, and I think Abraham and Sarah's faith, even though they couldn't believe it, was based on the fact. Our faith is not based on the confidence of something happening. Our faith is not based on our optimism that something will happen 100%. But our faith is based on the fact that we have a God that is faithful and reliable. So even though Abraham and Sarah at the time were like, that cannot be. But in their hearts and in their minds, they say, you know, whatever it is, even though I don't really think this is possible, but God, I trust you lah. But I trust you, God. You say it, so okay, I trust it's going to happen. I leave it to you. I have faith in you. So God, you make it happen. That's faith. So today, sometimes I know we doubt, sometimes we struggle, but you know what? Continue to trust in the reliability, in the faithfulness of God. And that's what faith is really about, that you still trust God. Even if it happens, even if you can't see it, even if you don't think it's going to happen, whatever it is, God, it doesn't shake my faith. Lord, this is all in you. You are 100% in control. You are 100% in charge, and that's faith. Let me carry on. Chapter 20 is a time when Abraham now is in the promised land, and he goes to this place called Gerar, and there's a king in Gerar called Abimelech. And he goes up to Abimelech, and again, you know what? His wife, right, is beautiful, so he's scared. And as they come to Abimelech this time, and Abimelech looks and sees, wow, Sarah's so beautiful, okay, and takes Sarah in again. Before he could do that, something happened. The Lord appeared to Abimelech in a dream and said, why you take this man's wife? And he went, no, I didn't know. And so he gives the wife back to Abraham and said, why you lied to me? During that time, God had brought disease on the family again. You know, they close up all the womb of all the females, all the wife, all the female servants could not give birth until, you know, they returned Sarah and Abraham prayed and all of them had the womb open. And it's interesting, right? Sarah cannot give birth, but in front of her, God does a miracle and let everybody else give birth. Now, I tell you this accounts for a reason, okay? And track with me a little bit. So now you've heard all the story. Let me try and bring out some key points for you. And this is the real key points. Sarah at this time, when she was attractive to Abimelech, was around how many years? This is all chronological, roughly. Almost 90 years old. Now, the first time in Pharaoh's, when Pharaoh was attracted to her, she was in her late 60s. Okay, if you count everything back, she was in her late 60s. Yeah, late 60s, maybe you can say, okay, lah, give or take, maybe, you know, 40, you know, maybe compared to our 40 years old, maybe roughly quite attractive still. But 90, maybe it's our 60 and 70, maybe you want to count like that, right? At 90 years old, she's attractive. Someone's interested in a 90-year-old woman. What's going on here? Okay, and this is my thinking. This is my conclusion that I came up to. It's not in the Bible. You don't have to take this as truth. But maybe, right, as she hears the word of God, and as God speaks to her, saying, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. Believe it, you're going to have a child. And as she received that word from God, as she starts to have faith in God, maybe her body starts to believe it and faith transforms her body. Her cells, the tissues in her body start to rejuvenate. They start to become younger. That even though she is 90 years old, her body starts to be ready to give birth to a baby. Maybe that faith, when you believe in faith, it transforms you, and it transforms Sarah. So that even at 90 years old, maybe she looked like she was only 45 or 35. I don't know. Could it be? Maybe. So all you women today, faith, man, faith. No need SK2. It sounds funny, but what I want to say is this, you know. We always say when we pray, right, we say, faith moves the heart of God. How many have heard something like that before? When you pray with faith, you know, God will move. You heard that before, right? But I also submit to you that when you have faith, faith in God transforms you. It transforms your mind, it transforms your spirit, and sometimes, many times, it transforms your body. That's why we pray in faith for sickness, and people get healed. And we say, you know, you can do this, and you can be a leader, and you don't believe it. But, you know, you say, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to have a bit of faith. And faith transforms all of us. In whatever promise, in whatever calling God has for your life, if you have faith in God, It changes you. It changes each and every one of us. It changes you and gives you the thing that God wants you to do. He prepares you for it. You become stronger. You start to be able to do things you never thought you could do. Because faith does transform us. So I want you, in the calling that God has for your life, in the things God has called you for your life, in the things that you're struggling with, you know, your faith. Yes, it moves God, but it transforms you. Amen. Okay, let me go to my next point. I purposely told you the story about how Sarah got pulled into Pharaoh's house. I purposely told you about how Sarah got pulled into Abimelech's house. Why did I tell you this? At this time, when her husband lied and told her to lie, and she got pulled into these houses, you know what? I think at that point, if I was Sarah, I would have thought to myself, I can't depend on Abraham, who, forgive me, wants to save his own skin and is not defending me. I can't depend on him now when I'm stuck in this place under Pharaoh or under Abimelech, right? But what happens is that God comes, brings sickness, delivers her, not once from the same situation, twice in the same situation. Now, many of us think that, you know, God gave the promise to Abraham. So Sarah is like tagging along with the promise, right? And yes, there's nothing wrong. But at that time, when she experienced God's power and deliverance for herself, I think that cements and tells Sarah that she herself now has that personal encounter, that personal relationship, that personal faith with God. It's different. It's not a faith that was dependent on Abraham anymore, because it was Abraham's faith, Abraham's God. It is now my God and my faith and my trust. And why I bring this out is this. Some of you, you're visiting us or you're new to this church. This is fantastic. Someone brought you to this church. And for those of you who have been here for some time, it always starts like that usually. Someone brought you to this church. Someone encouraged you to come. Someone follows up with you every week. Hey, you coming here today? You coming here today? Don't sleep late. I come and pick you. I bring you to church. Or someone brings you to life group. Come for life group. I know you're very busy, but come for life group. I'll meet you at the LRT. I will do this. I will do that. And in the beginning, it's like this. Someone else's faith helps you along. It's borrowed faith. Pinjam faith. It's like sit in the same taxi going in the same direction faith. Right? And it's like that for many one of us. When you first become a leader, someone says, Dama, you follow me. I teach you how to be a leader. And okay, la, I try. It's borrowed faith. But you know what? After some time, I want to encourage every one of us to have that personal encounter with God, that personal relationship with God, your personal faith with God, that is not dependent on if someone encourages me, if someone tells me this is the right thing to do, but you have your personal encounter, your personal faith that's not dependent on someone else, not dependent on your life group leader, the friend who brought you, your husband, or even your wife. But it's a faith that's yours and you own for yourself. Amen? Let me expand this a little bit more. You know, when we talk about church, for example, and some of you know we're going to have a second service soon. And someone actually asked me the other day, how are you going to do the second service? What's going to happen? I said, I don't know. We haven't figured out everything yet. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? I don't know. We're going to figure it out as we go along. But we're going to start a second service yet. But if today I tell you, you know, we're going to start a second service. You know, Pastor, myself, all the leaders, we prayed about it. We're going to start a second service. And we're all excited to start a second service. And we think God is going to double the number of people we have. We're going to maybe have about 300 people. How many of you can believe that? Can you believe it's going to happen? I believe. I also believe. Okay? That's a corporate faith. Now, how many of you think you can disciple 4 people? It's got to be personal. Yes, we believe together, we pastor, we believe with the leaders. You are, man. But God, can I go and suddenly reach to people that I don't know, get 4 new people and disciple them? Maybe start a life group. Or some of you will, a bit harder. A bit harder. Why? It's easy to believe together, and that's great. That's part of corporate faith. But it has to also be personal. Your faith has to be personal. Your relationship, your encounter, your trust, the things God is going to do has also got to be personal. If I tell you today that we are going to have twice the number of life groups we have today, can you believe that? Can, right? Very easy to believe. Can you believe that you will be a life group leader next? A bit harder. A bit harder. Right? But that's what it is. Corporate faith, great. We live in corporate faith together. I love corporate faith. It empowers us, but you know what? It's got to be a personal faith, a personal trust, a personal journey, a personal encounter with God. You've got to have that faith on your own. All right? So that's the second thing I want to say. Number one, faith transforms us. Number two, faith, it's corporate, but it's also personal. You've got to have that personal faith. Now, the third thing I want to say is this. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Okay, so I've covered the calling phase. I've covered the testing phase. The final phase is the promise phase. About a year after God had visited them, the Bible tells us that they had a child. It was amazing. It was impossible. The woman who could not have a child, the woman who had passed the age of giving birth to children, somehow something happened. She was with child. At 100 years old and 90 years old, here is this child. And they named the child, God called them to name the child, Isaac. Remember, Abraham laughed. Remember, Sarah laughed. And both of them laughed in unbelief. Laugh in disbelief, laugh in doubt. But the name Isaac means he laughs. Who has the last laugh? The very object, the very focus that represented unbelief, laughing, is now the very object of the product of faith. The very thing that was the laughter that represented disbelief and doubt is now the very thing that represents faith. God turns the very things that you think are your weaknesses, are your areas that you think will never get sorted out. He uses those areas. And one day, it's going to be your position. It's going to be your testimony. It's going to be your product of faith. So what's the thing that's bugging you now? What's the thing that you think, I will never get through that? It's going to be your story of faith one day, amen? Faith can do the impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And in this place, in this church, over the many years that we have been in existence, there are many, 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 many stories of how God has done work in impossible situations. Just ask around. Even when we first started the church, we started in a small little classroom, barely 20 of us, with nothing that you see today, with leaders that sparrow pakai, half-baked leaders, not even half, quarter-baked leaders, who couldn't speak well, who couldn't lead well. But we thought God say, come and start a church. All amateurs, okay? None of us are professional church people. We are all amateurs. And we started a church. And this morning, as I worship this morning, I look around and I think of all the people that we have had in our church now. And people who have, of course, left us. They've gone back to their own countries. The students that we've ministered over the years. And the hundreds of people that we've touched. It's not because we are fantastic, full of faith people. It's not because we were 100% confident and knew what we were doing. But we know God called us to do it. And we say, God, we're just going to have faith that you are the God that we trust. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that God is a God that does the impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe today you have something that you're doubting in. Maybe today you're struggling to take your faith to the next level. Maybe you're believing the Lord for the calling that He has for you. Whether it's in your work, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your finances. whether it's in your ministry and your next steps. You know, we all struggle in life. It's okay to struggle in life. It's okay to be worried. It's okay to doubt in your life. But today, I want to speak faith. And I want to say that you can put your trust, not in your circumstance, not in your abilities, definitely not in our weaknesses and imperfections, but we can put our trust in the reliability, in the faithfulness, in the reality of God. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know what struggles you have. I don't know what questions you have in your mind. But today, the story of Abraham and Sarah is a story that is so illustrative for us that no matter how imperfect we are, no matter the weaknesses, no matter the struggles, God can and will use you. And today, if you're someone who's been held back because of that, it's a chance for you to say, God, I know I've held myself back because of all these reasons I've given. But today, God, I'm putting them aside. If that's you today, you tell God that. You tell the Holy Spirit that today. Some of you, you know you have a call on your life. You know there's a call for your life and you're struggling with that call. You don't know what's next. But God has a plan and a calling for you. It may not be evident now. It may be impossible now. You can't see it. You can't believe it. But today you respond and you say, God, just like Abraham and Sarah, even though I find it difficult to believe in you, you are the one that I put my faith in. And even if it doesn't happen, God, you have my faith, God. I'm still trusting you, God. And today, if you have sickness, today, if you have illness, there's something physical that you need in your body. If there are people here today, you have been waiting for the promise of God. And maybe you've been saying, God, would you even open my womb? Because you've been desiring God to give you a child. You know, my heart is with you today. And I want you to say, God, it's difficult, Lord. I don't know how this is going to happen. But Lord, I can't see. But Lord, you have my faith. I will trust in you.